Hi, I'm Erica Farber, President and CEO of the REB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. We recently attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas, April 15 to 19. And over a five-day period, the convention brought together over 65,000 of our closest friends and featured keynotes and targeted sessions focused on topics to help future-proof your career. We had the opportunity to sit down and talk with many executives and broadcast thought leaders about their focus and plans for the year. Big thanks to ENCO and Benstown for allowing us to record Radio on Main Street live in their exhibit booth every day of the convention. Over the next several weeks, you will have the opportunity to listen in on some of our conversations. In this second episode of the series, we hear the conversation I had with Kelly Freeler, Executive Director Digital for Leighton Broadcasting and Leighton Engage, a marketing agency owned by Leighton Broadcasting that's focused on helping small to medium-sized businesses generate results and solid ROI. Leighton Broadcasting is privately owned with their employees, also owning a percentage of the company, and have stations in seven markets and are headquartered in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
First of all, Kelly, you have the most fabulous jacket on. I know this is an audio podcast, but for those who are listening in sound, just think of the most beautiful pink color you can, and that is radiating around Kelly right now. So, love that. Kelly, it's really the first day of the NAB. What are you most interested in? You know, what are you thinking about with this convention?
It's interesting. It's always fun. The piece of being able to connect with other broadcasters is fantastic. That's always my favorite part of this, is that opportunity to share ideas, talk strategy, see what's working for other people. But one of the great parts about this one that's been really interesting is hearing all the conversation about AI and understanding the impacts that it can have and kind of the questions around it so far has been kind of dominating day one, what I've seen so far.
But you really are here. This is you.
Yes, I am. This is me.
So the overall theme this year is celebrating 100 years of innovation in media and entertainment and broadcasting. Is there a specific innovation? I know you mentioned AI, but is there a project going on at your company that you're most excited about?
No, I think part of it is just the commitment to trying to make sure that we're able to leverage all these different touch points that we have with audiences now. And I think that's one of the great things about the evolution of radio as well. We get to be with people in the car as they're going to work and driving, and you get to have those conversations. But now we can have conversations throughout the day on social media and smart speakers when you're with your family and you're listening, wherever it is. So I think that ability to kind of cultivate communities and engage with that audience and in so many different places is just one of the greatest innovations, is that kind of adaptability of radio to know what does the community need from us and how can we kind of deliver that.
You know, your title is digital, and as an industry, we're embracing digital. Some are way ahead, others are trying to figure it out. You handle this with such ease. So what advice do you have for broadcasters who haven't jumped in the way you have, but what can you do to help us bring us all to your level, if you will?
I think part of it is trying to simplify it in some ways and not thinking about the complexity of how do I create all these integrations, but look at where are the opportunities. Where can you find? For us, I know as a company too, we're in mostly small markets in Minnesota. And so part of the challenge too was how do we compete with the big media companies? And what do we do? Well, we just had to take small steps and look at what does our staff have the capability of doing? What can we embrace and do? And kind of find one or two things at a time. And try not to get overwhelmed by trying to catch up, because there's no catching up. There's no we've arrived moment. It is just going to be a constant state of change right now. And I think the sooner you can embrace that and just carve out a little spot for yourself, the better.
And how do you stay on top of everything? Because everything is changing so quickly. Everything's moving so fast.
Yeah. Find some nerds and trust them. I don't know.
Adopt a nerd.
Adopt a nerd. Let's start a geek ambassador program. No. I think a big part of it is relying on not being one person. but really just creating a culture of looking for opportunity and innovation and being able to figure out of listening at all levels of your organization, I think is so vital. Because those new people that we're bringing into broadcasting, they're teaching us every single day, because a lot of the younger people that are coming into broadcast too, what we're finding is they've embraced and they've grown up in a completely different generation than some of us did too. I grew up around radio. I was trying to record songs on my cassette player and hit the two buttons. I don't remember what they were. but a lot of people haven't grown up in that. They're growing up with a smartphone in their hand and they're growing up with smart speakers. And so I think leaning on those people within our companies too to help us with those ideas is going to be so impactful.
So here we are in second quarter. I don't know about you, but it's moving way too fast for me. Yeah. How's business?
Business is good. Radio is steady, and it's we have growth in our markets right now in radio, but the digital is doubling very quickly. There's a ton of growth potential. What we're finding is that the digital has really allowed us to be able to be more of a strategic partner for our clients, because we're managing a larger part of their budget. So where we've seen really exponential growth is in that digital part, where we can really be that full service partner for people. So business is good. It's been fun.
How is your sales staff structured? Because I know a lot of people grapple. Do you have all sellers sell everything? Do you have just a digital department, a traditional sales department? What's working for you?
So for us, we've modeled it as our broadcast sellers are creating appointments for digital strategists. And our digital strategists are handling that sale from start to finish. And we work very collaboratively together. Our radio sellers, we encourage them to come on appointments with us, but they're not responsible for developing the plans.
But it's team selling in a sense.
Yes. Yep. Team selling. We're very integrated. I'm jumping on a plane home from Vegas and then heading to one of our markets too to do a visit and meet with clients and work with account executives in that market. But we've developed a digital strategist role. Part of it is because I think when we get to this strategy idea too, there's a certain skill set to where sellers will excel. And I think sometimes if we maybe didn't hire with that mindset, we would be setting up our sellers to not be successful either if we didn't provide that support of having other layers within our team. So when we looked at our team and said, what are the strengths, what are the skills of our leadership and our account executives, we just thought that model would work best.
And not to get into the specifics, but from a compensation standpoint, I'm assuming that both partners, if you will, in that sales process are compensated when there's a sale.
Yep, the markets see the revenue on the market side for any digital. And then the sellers who are creating appointments are getting commission as a referral, and they're getting commission for the first 12 months of anything that team creates and generates as a result of that appointment. So absolutely there's compensation for that as well.
That's great. So everyone participates.
Yes.
You have been a fantastic partner in our sales advisory committee. And as you're very aware, because we reflect your interests, we have continued to focus last year and this year on very specific sales categories to help make us all experts and better qualified to work with clients. Are there any specific categories that are emerging in your markets that have surprised you or that are really showing some real solid growth?
In our markets right now, recruitment has been an interesting one. We saw a massive spike, and then we sort of saw people kind of almost getting frustrated because the conditions of recruitment have changed a lot.
Right.
Where it's almost a sustained effort that businesses need to adopt, as this is just an ongoing thing, and that the best way to handle recruitment is to really think about it like branding. They have to constantly have some sort of presence in that community, talking about it, and then they can have ramp-ups and different things. But we saw businesses that didn't do that struggling with it and getting frustrated, so they were sort of starting and stopping and pulling back. And what we're seeing now is them coming back again. We saw an up and a down, and now they're coming back and going, okay, I understand, I need to buy in.
Well, and that's interesting because so many times we think of recruitment about one specific job, mm-hmm. and yet what you're talking about is consistent messaging, you know, I'm assuming over 12 months.
It's not anything different than just what we think about with marketing, is that you're going to get lift on sales activation if there's a branding happening underneath it. If people have a familiarity with your business and you're on Indeed where you don't get a different font color and you don't have your logo and it's hard to stand out unless you're paying a lot to be on top, having that brand presence is going to amplify any of those efforts that you have ongoing. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of been telling that story that we're seeing that, okay, we're getting kind of a full funnel approach now to some of these recruitment campaigns. So it's been a sector that we've been able to create really solid partnerships in recently, but that's been one industry that's been somewhat surprising just because of the roller coaster over the last 18 months
or so. But it sounds like a great learning process that you've gone through.
Yes, yep.
Mm-hmm. Any categories that have surprised you that have sort of gotten less, if you will? And I'm sure automotive is on that list, but...
Yeah, and I came from automotive. I spent 6 years in automotive, and so I...
intimately know that industry.
Yes. So I have a lot of friends still in that industry, so I talk a lot about what's the pulse of it. And it's really fascinating what that industry is going through, too, because we're starting to see certain brands. Toyota doesn't have quite the inventory influx that other brands are seeing. Theirs is lagging behind a bit more, but that auto industry is interesting because they saw record years of profitability, even with reduced sales volume. And now, one of the largest expenses for most dealerships is floor plan and interest on vehicle inventory. And so as we start seeing these inventories balloon, we're starting to see them kind of ramp back up.
Interesting.
And so it is definitely coming. I think a lot of it, though, is what kind of strategic conversations are you having with those partners? Because they might not even be realizing some of those things because they maybe got used to a reduced budget. And kind of going back to the things that they needed before when they had a lot of volume.
Right. Yeah, that's fascinating. So, you know, disruption is certainly a word we hear a lot about. And our industry is dealing with disruption like every industry. But share some of the key challenges that your company has been facing and sort of what the focus has been and how your processes have changed.
No, one of the things with digital in particular, we felt like we were behind. we were behind, and you know, for a long time we had kind of this feeling like, how do we catch up? And so that disruption could be sort of exhausting at times because you're going, where the heck do I start? How do we go? How do you compete against others that maybe have an ability to scale right. at a bigger level? How do you balance scale and profitability? How do you sell in a commoditized space where we're all kind of selling the same things? And so, again, it was sort of trying to simplify it and go, where can we start? And what we found from that disruption is when we created a focus on who we wanted to serve in our markets, what that core business was that we could serve really, really well.
So that's where you started.
That's where we started, was who can we serve best? Mm-hmm. And how can we do that differently than what others are maybe providing? Knowing that we all have kind of similar products, radio and digital. So how can we do that really, really well? And then what sales processes, what types of resources do we need to have available in order to execute that? But part of it was we didn't kind of chase after transactional business. We had to figure out how can we find relationship-based buyers that wanted a partnership and wanted collaborators. And that was sometimes very difficult because it's hard to... say, I want to play the long game.
Well, and that's a human trait. You know, that's AI is not going to do that for us.
Correct.
So I think, you know, even though technology is moving so quickly, your success has been because of live bodies.
You have to listen to what are the problems that need to be solved. What are the problems that keep business owners awake at night? I mean, it's something that we always talk about, but it's really figuring out, is that part of everything you're trying to build and do on a daily basis too? And I think the profit follows a lot of times when you make the customer the center, mm-hmm. and you really figure out, how do I serve them well? Part of it too is just trying to draw on really listening to what it is that they're wrestling with. And we have a lot of holy SHIT moments with AI and with all this disruption of how do we sell all this digital stuff and how do we manage it and how do we build commission structures. Our clients are having those same oh crap moments, but they're also trying to manage ledger, general ledgers, and they're trying to run
a
business.
The door open.
They're trying to make payroll, and they're also dealing with a media that is changing and marketing that's changing, and they're trying to wrap their arms around all of that too, and they don't live in this space every day.
Yeah.
So how do we sort of act as that guide to help them through it has been a big part of it.
Well, and I'm sure you found this, in some cases, because of our connections in the local communities, we sometimes know more about the consumer than the business owner.
Yes. You know, I think when you're telling the story of a customer journey and why you're bringing certain things to communicate to people along that journey, and you can speak to those experiences that are personalized, or, oh, my in-laws just had storm damage on their house, when you're talking to a roofing
company.
That's
such a great point.
It's so important, because you've got to help business owners make decisions that way,
mm-hmm.
versus buying what's put in front of them.
Right.
And it helps them kind of make smarter choices, and it helps them be better communicators for their customers.
Well, and it helps your relationships become long-term relationships versus in and out, and then they say, well, radio doesn't work, or the digital deal of the week didn't work.
There's a guy from the RAB, Jeff Schmidt, who I hear say all the time. I know, I've crossed paths with him a couple times, but I've heard him say it, and I don't know if he took it from somebody else or not, but I'll give him credit. But to be a source of business intelligence is so incredibly important.
Yes.
And I think, how do we, you know, that is one of the exhausting parts, I'll be totally honest though, is how do you simplify and enable your sellers then to be that source of business intelligence? How do you help them have confidence in being curious and connecting them with resources that will help them kind of be that for their clients?
Do you think you can train someone to do that, or is that an innate quality that someone may or may not have?
I think that there's certain people that have a talent and a skill set for that curiosity, but I think you can also develop in some ways. I think it's two parts, so I'm dodging your question completely, Erica.
No, you're not. No, but I was just thinking about it, listening to you, wondering, you know, I don't know if everyone can do that.
I don't know either. And I will tell you that when we created Digital Strategists, part of it was born out of that, of are we setting people up for failure by asking them to try and manage an understanding of too many products?
Right.
And piecing all of it together to form a strategy. Is that something that all of our sellers have the skills to do? And I think if we really look at it, there's probably people that are better equipped to do that. So if they don't all have it, do you have the pieces in place to support it?
No, it's a good question.
Yeah.
So what's next? What's on the horizon for you and your company right now?
Right now, we are pouring into collaborative approach to digital and radio. How do we keep making these things work together? Because I think...
And collaborative meaning internally, outside partners? What does that mean?
I would say mostly internally.
Okay.
Creating a culture around the idea of our mission as a company is to serve our communities by being a media partner for them,
right,
in all areas. So I think a lot of it is that internal effort to just really make sure that everybody is on board and understands kind of that mission, and we know why that's so important for our communities. If we have stronger local businesses, we all are better for it. If we can kind of embrace that community and create more opportunities for engagement and interaction, that benefits all of us.
Absolutely.
So how do we keep growing these pieces, whether it's digital or events or radio, to make sure that we do that?
And you still
so nothing
find,
profound.
And you still find time to sleep?
Every once in a while. I've got a 2-year-old, so
oh,
I mean, sleep hasn't been a... I kind of got rid of sleep a few years ago when Theo arrived.
Oh, so is Theo going through the terrible twos or the terrific twos?
Honestly, well, I'm the cheesy mom. It's the terrific twos. I'm loving it. It's fun.
Oh, that's great. That's so funny. So I'm going to put you in charge of the entire industry right now. Not just your area within your company, but let's just think as globally as possible. And if you could have us as an industry all do one thing or focus on one thing and get our arms around it, what would your advice be?
cookieless data. I'm totally kidding. I don't want to even talk about it. My head exploded at Burrell Miami when we were discussing it. Yeah. No, part of it, I think, is a cohesive effort, and I've seen a lot of movement and traction around this. If we look at the industry, part of it is radio's experience in the dash. And I think that is one piece of a larger part of all of this, is how do we make sure that we keep evolving to be focused on user experience of our audiences,
right?
Not just in dash, but that's one example of it. So how do we make the user experience for people that are engaging with us? I think as a as an industry, as a broadcast industry, I think that that's so important, bringing people together to help talk about those things. How can we use AI strategically to remain live and local? How do we actually leverage that as a good thing rather than as a replacement?
Right.
I think creating collaborative partnerships across companies, because as an industry, if we're working together, it's kind of that we all will rise together then. And I think the more we can continue to engage in that type of conversation together, we're all going to be better for it, because we're going to make our community stronger instead of, it's not competing against each other. Our competition is not other broadcast companies.
Absolutely. So true. So if you would just start your sentence with radio matters because.
Radio matters because we engage our communities and we help our businesses keep growing and flourishing, and we create kind of a community within our community. And I think we provide information for them, we provide resources, we provide entertainment, we provide a lot of things that can help make connections in a world where we're kind of ruled by screens. We can kind of create and cultivate this opportunity to bring people together. And I think that that is just at the fabric of what has made radio great forever. I grew up remote hopping with my grandpa and my parents. I'd go to remotes and we'd go to car dealership or the furniture store or wherever it was. And you saw people coming out to meet with the people that were in the car with them every morning on the way to work. And it's so cool that...
And it meant something.
It did. It still means something. It might be different. It might look and feel different some days, but
right.
It's still at the core. It's that ability to kind of just engage with people and to create real touch points and authentic touch points. I think that that's the piece that just makes radio pretty badass.
And the same, I like that. Radio, pretty badass. I can see the billboards now.
I kind of thought, can I say that?
Absolutely. And radio works because?
Radio works because at its core, it's focused on engagement and it's focused on connection. And those things, that's what brands are trying to do too, is brands increasingly, people are increasingly listening less to brands and more to other people. So the more they can create this opportunity to have advocacy within their most loyal customers, the better. So being able to kind of tap into these audiences that we create too within broadcast, over the air, and at events, that's what makes it so important too, is being able to be that bridge for them as well and help them with that journey.
So Kelly, you're a badass too. Can I say that?
Thank you. I think the same about you. That's why I could say no.
Can I say that?
I can't say no to Erica.
Anyway, well, thank you so much for sharing some time with us.
Thank you very much, Erica. I appreciate it.
As we continue to see and hear results companies are having with digital efforts, Kelly reminds us of the importance of being able to leverage all the different touch points radio has with the audience today. She advises the importance of evolving to be focused on the user experience. And the more we can continue to engage in conversations and collaborate across companies, the stronger our industry will be.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.